Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor continues a two-part series titled, Soul Cleanse, The Journey to Wholeness. This is part two titled, Victory Through the Venting Process. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Today we're going to talk about the power of receiving a soul cleanse, receiving that wonderful, wonderful deep work of the Holy Spirit flushing broken fragments, broken pieces of your life out of your soul. The pain, the feeling of something that is just not functioning properly. You know, the frequency of mishap and heartache. Flushing all of that out, getting you into a place of wholeness where all of a sudden everything in your life is beginning, it's beginning to make sense. The tapestry that God is putting together for your life, that prophetic journey is beginning to come alive and make your life that much more fuller, that much more rich. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for that. There's a story found in Mark chapter 5 with the woman with the issue of blood. It says that when she said, "If I may touch his clothes, I will be made whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned about this in the press, and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched thee?" And he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she came, she fell down before him, and told him all the truth. She poured out her soul. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Very important thing here, because the woman who needed a healing of a blood disease, all she really came for in her mind was the healing of this blood disease. She had spent all of her money. She had visited many physicians, you know, and she really was desperate. She came out to Jesus with a cry of desperation. And that's what we need to get a hold of God today, to be desperate, to be hungry, to be desirous. I mean, to want to go beyond the conventional means, climb a tree, rip off a roof. God's looking for passion. He's looking for pursuit. This lady had that. Oh, was she in pursuit of a physical healing? Now, she needed more than that, but she wasn't aware of that at the moment. Oftentimes, we need way more than what we're asking for. The man was asking for silver and gold, and Peter and John said, "I don't have what you want, but we're going to give you what you need. You need a healing miracle." So often, God sees beyond even what you're asking him for, and he wants to give you what? So much more. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto God, who's able to what? To give you beyond what you can even ask or think, according to the effectual power that's working in you." If you have the desire and the faith, listen to me, then there's no limit to what God can do. He wants to exceed all your expectation. Oh, is that amazing? But this woman had a physical illness. It was a blood disease. And so she knew that if she could get to him, touch the hem, that she'd be whole. Her faith, that's where her faith was. Well, she did that. She pressed through the crowd. She got the healing. But then she began to go out the back door. She began to leave the scene of the healing service. Well, Jesus realized that he didn't touch her, but she touched him. He didn't give it, but she took it. And so he yelled out, "Who touched me?" He wanted her to be accountable. He wanted everyone to be accountable for the power that goes from him into them. And the woman, fearing and trembling as she's on her way out, away from the scene, you know, it says that she knew what was done in her. She knew the scope of what had happened. And then she began to bear her heart to Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do after she bore her heart to him? He then said to her these words. He said, "Daughter," never called anybody that before. He said, "Go your way in peace and be made whole of the plague." Not be made whole, be made whole of the plague. Meaning that I want you to leave the scene, not just with the physical healing, but I want you to leave with total peace on the inside of your life. And I want you to know this, that what happened to you with this disease and the trauma in your life will never, ever confront you again the rest of your life. You're whole of that. I mean to tell you, she probably thought, wow, I came for a healing. I ended up getting healed on the outside, healed on the inside, and a guarantee that this would never happen again. She got way more than what she came for. That's what God has for you. But in order to get the way more that God has for you, we often have to give God more than what we're willing to at the moment. You see, God wanted to get on the inside of her. She wanted a physical healing, but God said, I want to make you whole. I want to get on the inside of you and begin to release a lot of this stuff that you don't realize is all pinned up on the inside of you. And if I don't get this and get on the inside of you, you're going to leave here. But I'll tell you what, because what's all pinned up on the inside of you, it could create the wrong atmosphere for a lot of this stuff that you got healed of in your blood to come back on you once again. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, our inside is connected to our outside. I mean, you can't separate the two. And so often we just think that, we exercise our body, but we don't have to exercise our spirit. We feed our body, but we don't have to feed our spirit. And nothing could be further from the truth. We must maintain and nurture and nourish every part of our triune being, our spirit, our soul, our body, so we can be every whit whole. The bearing of her soul. What was this lady doing whenever she was telling him all the truth? First of all, we don't know exactly what she was telling him, but she told him everything. Meaning that whenever he apprehended her and said, "What you touched my hem, you got healed," and she was so caught up in the anointing, so caught up in who he was and what he had just done for her, that she began to say, "You know what? He's here. I'm here. I might as well get rid of everything." What an attitude! You know, when your car's up on the rack and you're just getting a tire on, tell the mechanic, hey, it's up on the rack. Fix anything that needs to be fixed. You know, while it's up on the rack. You know, while God has you captured, while you're in that season of, Lord, I want you to heal me, fix me, straighten this out and bless me with that. Don't stop there. I mean, go after everything. Oh, forget not all of the benefits, plural. God has a benefits, plural package for you. And it consists of inside, outside, and everything all around you, that you'd be saved, healed, delivered, highly favored, prosperous, anointed, appointed, oh my, everything restored, nothing missing, and nothing broken. But for that to happen, pay attention, there had to be, in this lady's case, and so is in so many of our cases, there has to be a releasing of what's on our inside. It's not sin. It's not sin against somebody or something. That's not what she was pouring out to him. She was pouring out just a life, a journey of frustration, of this and of that. And how about this? And why that? And how's come? And why is it taking so long? And how's come I had to be? And so many people have so much stuff on the inside of them that's all bottled up, and they don't realize how much that is blocking the flow of the anointing. You know, the hindrance. You can hinder the Holy Ghost. You can grieve the Holy Ghost. You can quench the Holy Ghost. Hinder, grieve, quench. And when any of these things are operating, it just makes it that much harder, and it prolongs breakthrough. It prolongs you experiencing on a high level that peace, that freedom that comes into your mind, that comes into your emotions, that causes you not to be isolated. Not to feel like you're some, you know, second-class Christian who can't get what God has provided for you. The answer is so very close, and we want to look at it in the context of this story, because it says she came and told him all the truth. I mean, what did she have to do that for? She's already healed. She already touched his hem. Her blood's already dried up. Why go to this extent? Because the moment presented itself. You have to be sensitive whenever God is nearer to you than other times. You know, according to Isaiah 55, that's the case. Sometimes he moves in close, and sometimes, you know, he moves out a little bit, and he wants you to walk by faith, and then sometimes he lets you feel him on a high level. And when he's close, you want to make sure that you are bearing everything you can to him so that you are clear in communicating, you're clear in your faith, you're clear in what you're saying, you're opened up for correction, you're opened up for healing. You know, you just want to make the most of every miracle moment that you can. And that's what this precious lady did. She seized her moment in his presence. How often we don't. How often we get slain, we lay there, and we don't squeeze every moment out of that time on the floor, or that time standing in the moment in the worship service, or sitting in listening to our pastor preach and give that teaching. So often in the car we hear that praise tape, and before God can do everything he wants to do, we get to our destination, we turn the car off, and we leave, and the presence is thick inside the cubicle of that car. God has started something in you, and he's so anxious to continue it and to finish it, because that's where he gets all the glory, and that's where you and I reap all the benefit of presence and power in this lifetime. Everything living has waste. Everything living has waste. We can't but help store up stuff, you know. It's not like we go around confessing everything all day long. There's just things that just get bypassed. And, you know, this hurt, that word, this experience. And pretty soon, we have stuff that is inside of us that we don't even realize is there. And often, it don't come out until there's a pressure-packed situation. And then we're surprised that, wow, that's what came out of me. That thought, that word. And, you know, and then we say, oh, God, sorry. And we keep moving down the road. And sometimes we don't realize is that what we need is a venting, a constant venting, a soundboard. Because every living thing has waste. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get that. Every living thing has waste. If we don't vent as this lady vented, then sometimes we're going to end up just getting a healing. Not that that's bad. We're going to end up just getting the money. Not that that's bad. But I know that I'm talking to a whole lot of people right here that want the whole package. I mean, you want the whole miracle menu. And if you want the whole menu, then we're going to have to really be a lot more sensitive to what's God require from us. What's he wanting from each of us? He's wanting that level of surrender that lets him do more than what we are letting him do right now at the moment. And in this case, this lady needed, and he knew that, she needed to vent. You see, whenever you're venting, there's the light of God, there's the light of man. We know that God is light. We know that man carries a light. So whenever you vent to God, you know this going into a totally sterile atmosphere. He can handle anything you need to say. And again, we're not talking about the confession of your sin. We're not talking about something deep and dark and dead. We're just talking about, oh, Lord, you know, when am I going to get this car? Oh, God, I'm waiting. I'm trusting you. But is there anything? Just that dialogue. Just the way you would talk to a person where you're frustrated with this and you're frustrated with that. And Lord, I prayed, I fasted, but God, I'm trying to figure out why hasn't this? And I got that word at church and they said thus and so, and that timing was off. And well, God, I'm calling on you because I'm getting very confused and I don't want to be confused because that's not from you. And I don't have fear, but God, I'm calling on to you and I don't want that spirit of fear. And I'm standing on Isaiah 54:17. And there's all of that. It's so good to air it out about your father, your mother, you know, about that person that passed on whenever you thought they were healed. And well, they got the ultimate healing, but you know, you thought they were going to be healed for here, but God took them and healed them for there. You know, you win either way, healed here, healed there. But you know, in your case, it's kind of like, yeah, but why? And so things pile up on the inside. And then all of a sudden you begin to look way back in the past, and then you bring that in, then you bring the present in, then you mix a little bit of future. Now you got a cocktail that makes you crazy. And you don't even know that. Now you're trying to function as a parent, a businessman, an elder, a deacon, a pastor. You're trying to be, you know, someone that is proactive in your church, and you yourself are carrying your own stuff. And you need to talk to somebody, but who wants to listen to you? Who can handle your stuff? I mean, who can you trust with some of your stuff that's going on around you? And we've all had betrayal. We've all had confidences broken. Venting is a necessary part, either bringing it into the light of God or bringing it into the light that man carries. That's why the Bible says, what, confessing your faults one to another, yeah, because there, and you can be healed because we carry the light of God. And sometimes things come to a higher level of accountability when there's someone with skin on that you know that knows what you're facing and what you're battling and what's going on inside your head and your life, and someone that you trust at a high, high level. Someone you trust at a high level. Not everybody, you know, is going to tell your stuff. Not everybody is, you know, can handle you. God has people all around you. You know, he has some very special go-to people that if you would just, you know, humble up, humble down and say, God, I need to share this with somebody, you know, then they're going to know what to do, how to pray, how to minister, how to carry, help you carry, and how to make sense out of, you know, what you're venting. Because it can get pretty crazy if it stays on the inside of you. See, if it stays on the inside of you, it remains in darkness. But when you confess it and you bring it up out and you vent, you bring it up out of the dark in you, out into the light. And when it's into the light, you can begin then to understand what your own strongholds are. And sometimes it's not the situation you think its problem is. Sometimes it's the guilt of it. The guilt is the stronghold, not the situation. The fear is the stronghold, not the situation. And it's so hard to understand that what you're battling isn't that situation, it's the condemnation of it. And once you can begin to separate, my battle's not with that, it's with the fear. My battle's not with that, it's with the guilt. Well, how do you know that? Because you're venting. You're bringing it up and out. And if you're bringing it up and out in front of the Holy Spirit, if you're doing it in front of God, then the Holy Spirit has the ability to say, hey, look, here's what this real issue is. It's not about this, it's about the fear you're facing. It's about the, you know, the rejection that you feel. If you're bringing it up in the light of a person, then it gives them the opportunity through the Holy Spirit to say, God is showing me that your issues with this. And so when you bring something up and you vent, you're able to see your stuff. You know, you're able to muddle through some of the broken fragments and pieces of what's coming up and out of you. You can have a closer inspection of what you're venting. And then you can diagnose yourself more properly. Otherwise, you could be misdiagnosing yourself all the way through. You could be making this thing to be so much different or greater. You know, I come from a family of sorcery, or there's witches that live on our street, or I'm under a generational curse. You have a fear, period. And how do you know that? Because as you vent, it's going to become very clear what is in your speech with great frequency. You know, it may be hidden in and among some of those other words and some of the other emotion. But eventually, as that venting takes place in front of God, in front of somebody who carries the Holy Spirit, and you're venting to them, I really believe, I've seen it over the years, you know, where people just realize, wow, this is not my problem. This is the issue. If the devil can camouflage the issue and have you fighting something that isn't there, and spend your whole life thinking that this is the problem and when it's really not, and this is. Oh, if he can do that, he has taken and stolen years out of your life and freedom from you that you should have been functioning in a long time ago. Venting is powerful. It's raw, it's real, and sometimes you don't like to hear what's coming up and out of you, but if you can handle, that's what's in me, and identify, that's my stronghold. That must be what the real issue is. I don't think anybody's ever going to love me again. I don't think I'm worth it. I don't think there's anybody out there trustworthy that calls themselves a leader. I don't know if I've ever seen a miracle. I don't know if I really believe all the things is, you know. And even though, listen to me, even though it's coming up and out of you and you don't like what you're hearing, you don't move into denial. You don't have to, you know, you don't just say right away, say, I don't receive that. You recognize that there's an issue coming up and out of you that's on the inside of you, because that's what you're venting. You know, I mean, whenever you regurgitate something because you've been nauseated or sick, you know, that you look into the toilet of where you'd regurgitated, and that's what came up and out of you. You can't deny that that was in you. And a lot of what comes up and out of you is a diagnosis on how to help you. Remember, the snake that bit them in the wilderness was also a snake that was copied or made out of brass that healed them. God took the same instrument that bit them and gave them poison to heal them. So often the answer for healing is right in the poison itself. Why? Because God wants everything to backfire and crush the devil. Everything he used to break you, everything he used to destroy you, everything he used to keep you a hostage in fear. You know, if you can just allow that to be vented in a time of frustration, like, why do I have that? How's come that hasn't gone away? How's come I'm not delivered of that? See, that's venting. You know, I was prayed for. I thought I was healed. I thought that I was delivered of that. I mean, what's going on around here? Now, that doesn't sound real positive. You know, it doesn't sound real positive. But if you're airing that in the right atmosphere, if you're bringing your ashes to God, he said, then I can make it beautiful. See, God takes the junk. God takes the stuff that stinks and smells, that's ugly, you know, and he is just a great garbage collector. And then he's able to take that, process that, and turn it around. And what does he say? Your ashes, I give you beauty. But there has to be an exchange. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for a garment of praise for heaviness. Oil of joy for mourning. There's an exchange. I give you this when you give me that. So there's a surrendering. He didn't say surrender to me your beautifulness. Surrender to me your great surrender to me your great accomplishments. Give me your ashes. Give me your broken pieces. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm here to help you. I'm here to handle anything that you want to talk to me about. See, today, who really wants to listen to most people? Who has the time? Even today, the leaders of churches are busy. Counseling appointments are hard to get. Sessions are an hour long. How do you vent an hour long? How do you do that? How do you find someone you can trust, someone that knows what to do and how to handle your stuff? And that's why you can't just let the devil isolate you and move you into a code of silence. That's not your road. That's not where you're headed. You're headed for what this woman did. She told him all the truth. She opened up and bore her soul to him. And in exchange, she had a flood from heaven that hit her. She had a peace she never knew. She had a promise of wholeness the rest of her life she couldn't fathom. I mean, she walked away from there spellbound. She walked away from there thinking, I went for that and came home with this. I went home, I went to the grocery store for a lettuce of cabbage, and I came home with the grocery store. I'll tell you what, that's exactly what God wants to do for you. Healing, yes. Restoration, yes. Blessing, yes. Prosperity all the way. And so much more. He would never, ever promise anything he couldn't perform. That's why the scripture is so radical and adamant about he's able to perform all that he's promised. And what did Paul say? I'm fully persuaded. And that's where God wants you to get your mind, your heart, your words, your action to move into the place. I'm so convinced. It may take a while to get there. You may not get there overnight. You may not get there as fast as your friend did, but if you stay faithful and you continue to vent before God and you begin to air out stuff to him and don't let it bottle up inside of you, you'll be shocked at the amount of grace that'll come your way to enable you to do what you can't do in your own power. He said he makes all grace abound towards you. Grace for the marriage, grace for the money, grace for your physical healing, grace for weight loss, grace for investments. All grace he makes abound to you. Whenever you vent like this, it enables the Holy Spirit on some level to become the better spin doctor in that situation. Meaning what? He's able to make the crooked stuff coming out of you, the doubt stuff, the hopelessness. He's able to take it because it's venting. And he's able to say, no. Yeah, I know that happened, but that's not what's going to happen now. I understand that happened 10 years ago, but this is not, that was then, this is now. He's able to take, whether it's a person that God is using or whether it's the Holy Spirit himself, he's able to take what you're venting, that anger, that disappointment, and he's able to somehow, in only a way in which God can do it. I mean, only he's really the one that can handle everything that we want to say to him. But when he's using somebody, a counselor, a friend, a pastor, a visiting guest evangelist, you know, whenever he's using somebody in your life, someone in your own family, to really help you and listen to you, you know, and try and break each stronghold that comes out of your mouth and the frustration and the misconceptions. It's amazing. That anointing shows up. I'll tell you what, when that anointing shows up, I don't care who's talking. Do you hear me? I mean, when that anointing shows up, God begins to take what's coming up out of you, because now it's in the light. It can be dealt with. It can be seen. It can be heard. Now you understand what we're dealing with. And guess what? He begins to take it and put a spin on it. You know, here's how God's going to use you. Hey, that's a part of your destiny. Somehow that's factored into how God's going to use you. That's factored into, you know, what you're going to do with your life's work. Whatever, however, I'm telling you this, the promises of God are yes and they're amen. And whenever you vent like this woman did, then God's able to come in and properly diagnose, break that stronghold, reveal it to you so you know how to take issue with it, so you know how to safeguard against it, so you know what the real battle is. It's not what you think. It's that one or two words that come out with regularity that's properly discerned, because you're venting that stuff out there before God, before a God-filled person. It's also amazing that whenever you're venting and you're releasing this stuff into the light, how someone that has the Holy Spirit, or here again, the Holy Spirit himself, is able to separate you from the situation that you're in. You know, I have a car, but I'm not a car. I'm in a car, but I'm not a car. I live in a house, but I'm not a house. The enemy tries to make you one with your circumstance. He tries to make you one with your problem. And you have to understand something. You're not a disease. Your body has a disease, but you're not a disease. Your body's fighting a sickness, but you're not sick. And these things make all the difference in how you fight something, how you keep the enemy at bay, how you don't give up any ground. Because so many people begin to place their value and their worth. If they can be told that, you know, that they're a failure because they're in a bad marriage. And the truth is, no, you're a wonderful person. You're not a failure. You're in a challenging situation, but you are not a failure. But if the devil can make you feel like a failure, failure's never a person. It's always an experience. But whenever you vent, if you don't vent that out and give the Holy Spirit, you know, one-on-one with you or through somebody, the opportunity to make that known and make that straight, you're liable to go the rest of your life feeling like what? A lousy mother, a lousy father, a bad pastor, a horrible son, a horrible stepson. And all of a sudden, you know what? You begin to live it out and you don't expect much, because your expectations for the future is based on how you feel about yourself right now. God don't base your value or your worth on what you're in or what you're going through. What your value and worth is based on is how you handle what you're going through. How are you dealing with it? That's where your worth is. You know, when we read about Paul in the prison praising God, we don't say that guy got put in jail. How'd he get into jail? Can you believe Paul went to jail? No, all we talk about is he praised God hanging on a wall. The earthquake came. All the doors were opened. The jailer man got saved. All we focus on is how Paul handled the jail. How Daniel handled the den. How Jonah handled the fish. That's what matters. Don't let what you're in determine your value or your worth. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And when you begin to vent that out and air that out, and someone can pick up on that, then they're able to tell you, hey, you know what? You're worth your value. You're amazing. You're going through something. You'll come through it. This isn't you. You're not that. You're going through something, but that's not you. And that's what God needs to take place. And when does that take place? Whenever you are venting, whenever you air out your soul in front of the right person. Here again, child of God, in front of the right person. I would not advise this in a group. I would not advise this with anybody. This is something that you pray through and let God connect you with somebody that's able and that you trust and has some kind of a trail or record of being able to handle. You know, someone of some spiritual stature. They've been seasoned, you know, in their walk with God. You don't want to share this with a novice or your children or just, like I said, in an open audience. Because a lot of people can't handle, obviously, some of the things that you may be facing. You yourself can't handle them. That's why you air them out to what? To get other somebody that has the faith to join their faith with your faith, their prayer with your prayer, their anointing with your anointing. And that's when two or three touching any one thing, it shall be done. Oh, I tell you what, this is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. When you air stuff, when you vent, you know, in front of the light of man, when you vent, you enable people to be more accurate in their prayers. You enable people to zero in. Otherwise, people may have to just say God, and they may have to pray in a very general way. But when you air and people hear your heartache, when they hear some of the consistency in your battles, that it's a money thing, a marriage thing, a child thing, a fear thing, then, boy, they can hone in with all their faith, with all the scripture that they know pertaining to that issue, and they can actually begin to pinpoint, surgically apply the anointing in a way that the yoke can't stand the pressure of that powerful, faith-filled prayer. Venting has, and no one did this better. No one vented better than David. If you read the Psalms, he worshiped, he praised, but I'll tell you what, he would say things like, "Oh Lord, many of them that surround me. Lord, why would you let me go down into the grave? What benefit is that? Oh Lord, make their way slippery, them that are chasing me. Oh God, this, and God, and this man," and he just vented. I mean, it wasn't a prayer. He was venting his situation. He was just throwing up these words to the Lord, letting the Lord know, "Hey, I'm here. Here's what I'm going through. I trust you. I lift my soul to you." You know, he was venting more than anybody else I've seen throughout the scripture. Oh, I'll tell you what, and he had this special place. Why did he have that special place with God? Because he came to God with everything. Oh, I'm telling you what, don't ever get so strong that you don't need him. Our goal is not to become independent. We don't get full of the word, I'm full of faith and healed and whole, to become independent of him. No, no, a million times no. We become healed and we become filled and thrilled and touched so that we need him more. Oh no, we draw closer. We don't pull away. We're not some independent teenager that wants to leave home. No, 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 no. We realize that what? He is the vine and we are the branches. In and apart from him, we can do nothing, but connected to him, we can do all things. I tell you what, this is amazing. Because why? Because whenever you vent, you begin to sense after you're done, if it's done properly, you'll begin to realize, wow, I don't know what all just took place here. And you may not be able to understand exactly, but the sweet aroma and the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit that will flood in and around. Because God honors this. God's very, very concerned about people that are afraid to, they have no one to talk to. How many people have no one to trust and no one to talk to? I'm telling you today, you have someone, you have him. If you have no one with skin on, if you have no one that, a people person that you can fully, fully trust, I'm here today to tell you, you have him, but you must execute, you must do it. Now, don't say, "Yeah, I know I have him." No, 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 that's not good enough. You need to begin to look up, get vertical, and say, "Lord, I'm just kind of confused why this is all going on." Give him something to work with. Give him some words. Open up a dialogue. Vent it out. Don't take everything out on the people around you that can't handle it. So often we vent on the kids. We vent on the wife, the husband. We vent on people at work. And they look at you and go, "Wow." And sometimes they can handle it and they'll say, "Well, I'll be praying about it." Most of the time, they don't know what to say. And sometimes they say the wrong thing. They give you advice that isn't worth even repeating. You and I, we all need, because we're living and we have waste and we need to get this up to him. We need to get this vertical. "Master, I'm here today and I'm just letting you know that I prayed about this and I'm a little confused about that." That's not negative. That's not admitting that I'm given over to confusion. That's coming into the presence of Almighty God saying, "I need some more grace. I need another touch of the grace of God. I'm coming boldly to the throne. that I may obtain mercy and find grace. You know, I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with needing more, with asking for more, with receiving more, with being so dependent on Him, realizing that in us is no good thing save Christ in Him crucified. The greater one is in me. I have this treasure in this earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of Him and not of ourselves. Precious one, today, read this story. See where she told Him all the truth and the reward that she received by venting stuff out to God, her frustrations. You know, and sometimes anger will come out. Sometimes it'll be tears. Sometimes it'll just be dry words. Sometimes it may surprise you. Sometimes you may say, I can't believe I said that. God can handle anything you have to say. All through the scriptures, He dealt with some pretty strong people. And when you come to Him in faith, when you come to Him knowing that maybe there's no one else that can handle what you have to say, He's all ears. He's all heart. And He's waiting to visit you and visit with you and reveal to you a way through and a way out on dry ground like nothing else you've ever seen. I'm here today to say He'll make a way in the desert, and He will also bring water up out of the desert. He is an amazing God. He is amazing in the third heaven. He's amazing in the earth. And He's more than amazing living inside of each one of us. Today, go vent. Go bare your heart. Go close yourself in the bedroom, the bathroom. Take a walk. Take a ride. Take a drive. Go somewhere where you know that you're secure in being vulnerable before Him. I know so often around people we're very conscious of how we behave and how we display our emotion, but we should be able to bare our heart to Him and do what this lady did. She told Him everything. Do that today, and the soul cleanse begins to take place, and you begin to function in a level of freedom you have never, ever even imagined. Father, bless the people. Bring them to a place of this transparency, this freedom of venting before You, that they may receive all that You have in this great hour they're living on planet Earth at the end time harvest. I give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.